the original sound that was intended by the composer much better than anything that's been done before because of the accuracy that's available this way. But this sort of illustrates the point that it doesn't, that I don't think that something like the CMI will ever replace musicians, or the obvious question is, you know, how many musicians is this going to put out of work? You know, the musicians have got a hard enough time already. But of course it's not going to put anyone out of work, it's put a lot of people into work, because musicians who previously haven't been able to sit down and play 9 pianos and 10 gongs all at once can suddenly do that. So all the things that have been in the back of their mind, boy wouldn't it be incredible if I could do this and if I could do that, too bad I can't, are now becoming real possibilities for musicians who haven't been able to do those things before.
And obviously you two do some composing, because we're going to hear a piece now that's called Peter, which is your name, and I gather that you wrote it. What's the story of this?
Well, I didn't actually write it, I confess. What happened was I delivered a CMI to somebody in London, to a musician there, and one of the features of the CMI is that the music can be programmed into the computer other than by playing on the music keyboard. So quite apart from sitting down and playing it like you play a piano, you can write up music on a score and type into the computer the notes, just sort of like play an A and a B and a C, and you can put in a whole score of many different parts and say, let's see how that sounds, and the computer will play it. The advantage of that technique, of course, is that you can play things that real musicians physically can't play, like something that might require 10 hands or that's so fast that no one can ever play it. And here again, you get music that hasn't been heard before because it's been impossible to perform it. Another, going one step further than that, you can come up with all sorts of clever programs for the computer to generate music according to numerical laws or some sequence of numbers. And this is an area which is virtually untapped at the moment. But this piece which we're about to hear was made by this musician who I first gave the computer to and said, you know, you can program music into it. And he said, oh, I've got a good idea. Let's take all the letters of your name, string them together end to end, and using just a very simple transformation, that is taking the position of the letter in the alphabet and using that as the note that it's to play, we'll feed that into the computer and see what comes out. And that came up with just a simple little tune which is about as many notes long as the letters in my name. And then of course he used his orchestrating ability and things like that to put in different instruments, and so here's what we got in the end.
Peter, and Peter Vogel, who is one of the two inventors of the computer musical instrument, is with me. Peter, can you use the CMI as an intermediary process for writing a musical composition? Put it on the computer, hear what it sounds like, go back to the orchestra.
Yeah, that's something that's being done more and more now, because traditionally composition has been done on a piano. I was going to say computer, but that's not traditional yet. Next year. So it's now possible for someone to sit down and work out the music on the sounds, or at least the sort of sounds that he's going to use. So even if he's writing for an orchestra, he doesn't have to sit down and tap something out on the piano and imagine how that's going to sound on 20 violins. He can get a pretty good idea of how it's actually going to sound without ever having to record anything on tape even. See, the computer has a memory of its own on floppy disk storage, so that you can type in the music or play the music on the keyboard and it will remember the music. You can come back 6 months later and get that music back, make some changes to it if you want. So for example, you can do you might be doing a film score, you can do the score to the film as you think it's going to be, submit it to the people who are editing the film, invariably they change the cutting at the last minute. And they come back to you and say, oh, well, can you take 10 seconds out here or can you add 5 seconds there? And of course, because nothing is really fixed, you've still got all the music on disc, you can very easily come back and change it later, make changes to the timing, or add a few notes here, take a few out there, without starting the whole process from scratch again.
Well, how did all this whole thing come about? You and Kim Ryrie are the two inventors of the machine, and 6 years ago you got underway.
Well, I used to go to the same school as Kim, although he was a couple of years ahead of me, and our acquaintance then was that we were sort of vying for the same science labs to blow up and to destroy the school as effectively as we could.
Glad to see your energies have been put to better use.
Yeah, but that's sort of when it all started. In those days, we were already building little electronic projects at school and playing around with computers, and in fact it was at school that I was first introduced to computers, because we had a little thing there which by today's standards wouldn't be a computer, but then 10 years ago it was sort of something that you could actually make lights flash on, so it was quite exciting. Then I didn't see Kim for a few years after that. Kim was working for Modern Magazines, publishing an electronics magazine, and one of the construction projects in that magazine was, you know, build yourself a music synthesizer in 400 easy steps. And at the same time, I had invented a video synthesizer, which is a whole different story. Again, that's like a music synthesizer, but it generates images instead of sounds, if you can imagine what that is. But of course, in those days, even now, no one can figure out what to do with a video synthesizer. So I had a I had a better mouse trap, but all the mice were dead. So I met up with Kim, and he said, I'm building this music synthesizer, but I think what it lacks is a computer to control it, because there's so many knobs and switches, no one can work out what to do with it. I'm sure it's not being exploited to its real potential. And you understand computers, how about it? So I had nothing better to do, and neither did Kim, so we said, okay, well, let's start a company and we'll design the world's most wonderful computer-controlled synthesizer. So we started off in a basement at Point Piper on the harbour in Kim's grandmother's house, where we didn't have to pay any rent, and so we didn't have much overhead. And we tinkered away for about a year and actually developed what we set out to do. And by the time it was finished, we were already sort of used to the technology, and we thought that it was really a bit crummy and maybe it should do something more spectacular. And just at that time we met another guy called Tony Furse, who is from a computer background. He's had many years' experience in designing computers, and he also had an interest in music synthesizers. When we met him, he had just completed a design for a computerized synthesizer on a grant from the Australia Council. And this was a really large system. It was very much more complicated than what we have now, because 6 years ago the technology wasn't there. And he showed us that machine. It was a quite sizable computer, and after sort of 20 minutes of loading information into it, it actually played music. So we were pretty impressed by this, but rather confused, because it was a very complicated machine. And what we decided to do was to join up with him, and we took over his initial concept and applied more modern technology to it to make it a really viable instrument. And subsequently the machine's come down to about a quarter of the cost that it would have been in those days, just because of new integrated circuits, silicon chips being available.
So now it's a full-time occupation for you. You have formed a company and are selling these instruments.
Yes, very much so. We have the company is called Fairlight Instruments, which is named after the hydrofoil. The reason for that is that when we were operating from Point Piper, we were trying desperately to think of a name for the company, and we tried every possible combination of Vogel and Ryrie, and they both sounded dreadful. So one day we saw the hydrofoil gliding past on the harbour. We said, Fairlight, that's it, that's the name. So it came to us out of the cosmos, and it's now called Fairlight, and we now have a company which employs about 20 people, and this is virtually our exclusive business, although we do make computers as well, because the synthesizer is actually a very powerful computer, which we make for a whole lot of other applications as well. We've been manufacturing for a year now and sold about 60 of these over the last year, and of course that's been all over the world.
That's a bit of slaps on the back for a great Australian invention. I think it's probably time for us to go with one from Kate Bush, which apparently Kate used the CMI on the track Babushka. How did that happen?
Well, this particular track, in fact the whole album, it was one of the first to make really good use of using CMI sounds, which are non-instrumental sounds. And on the track Babushka, you'll hear sort of toward the middle and the end of, right at the end of the track, these sounds like breaking glass that make sort of repetitive tinkling sounds, but they're in tune, they're actually playing tunes. Mm-hmm. And the way that was made was by smashing a glass in front of a microphone, taking that sound into the computer, then sitting down and playing it on the keyboard. So when you listen to the track, you hear these strange sounds going on, and you think, well, they're interesting, strange sounds. I've got no idea where they came from. And you have visions of rows and rows of people with glasses going along with a hammer, smashing them, and sort of studios full of broken glass.
And too true.
But it was, in fact, a CMI.
Peter, thanks very much for coming in. That's Peter Vogel from the Fairlight Company. Secret is out. Kate Bush, Bushka, and complete with computer musical instrument. 11 minutes to 12, you're with 2BL.